I mentioned I received a call from Greens Senator David Shoebridge yesterday, and it was in response to a question I put to Defence Industry Minister Pat Conroy yesterday. I spoke to Pat principally about the aid being delivered to Papua New Guinea in the wake of that horrific landslide that's happened in the Enga province, which is pretty remote, very difficult to get to, and things complicated. I mean, the main mode of transport there is by foot, so getting heavy equipment in is a bit of a challenge, and also there are skirmishes between local groups of the indigenous in the highlands of New Guinea, and that's also compounding the situation. But I did, we'll recap the other question that I put to Pat Conroy that certainly has elicited a response from David Shoebridge, the Green Senator. I see David Shoebridge, the Green Senator, has made a claim that AUKUS law could dump nuclear waste anywhere in Australia and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Is that correct?
No, that's incorrect. The legislation that is being put through Parliament makes it very clear that we will be storing waste from our decommissioned submarine reactors that will start to be decommissioned in the 2050s on defence land.
Okay, that was the response from Pat Conroy yesterday. And as I said, David Shoebridge, who's on the line now, contacted me yesterday to say, no, that's basically a straight-out lie. David's on the line now. Good morning, David.
Yeah, good day, Richard. How are you this morning?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. In the middle of estimates down here in Canberra.
Well, look, I might come to that in just a moment. You might get you to explain exactly what the estimates were all about. But look, you, Pat Conroy said no. That's not true. That nuclear waste from these submarines can be dumped anywhere. He said no, only on defence land. But you're saying that's not correct.
Well, I mean, Pat Conroy is either telling you something he knows is untrue, or he hasn't read his own legislation, and I don't know what's worse, but the legislation says in bold terms that if this legislation goes through and we get nuclear submarines and either second-hand Virginias or if they ever manage to build one in Australia, that they can then declare any part of the country. And the legislation says it could go to defence land or any other part of the country. I mean, that's what it says. There's just no argument about it. They can declare defence land or any other part of the country.
And that's what it says. That's the wording. Okay, that's the wording. It says anywhere else as well.
It says anywhere else in the country.
Right.
And it just there's just no room for argument about this. And in fact, we explored this with defence officials in the course of an inquiry, and they were absolutely clear about it. Yes, it could be defence land, or yes, it could be anywhere else. And they said, oh, no, but the minister only intends it to be on defence land. And we pointed out, well, okay, you know, a politician's promises are one thing, but black and white law is another. And also, there'll be a future defence minister, and there'll be a future government. So why would we pass legislation that allows a future government to declare any part of the country a high-level nuclear waste? And when we're talking about spent nuclear fuel from reactors, which has a half-life of 10,000 years and is so lethal that only the smallest contact with it our proximity to it can actually deliver a lethal dose of radiation.
And who wrote the bill, David?
Well, it was delivered by the Defence Minister. But, you know, it's Defence Minister and Pat Conroy is the junior minister to the Defence Minister. So
right.
It came straight out of, you know, Pat Conroy's world in Canberra. So I find it extraordinary that he goes on your radio station and says something that either he knew plainly false, or he just hadn't read his own ledge. And a really critical part of the ledge, which is where on earth they can dump this nuclear waste.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a hot issue. All right. Well, as I said, David, you contacted me yesterday because you'd received a transcript of that conversation yesterday, thanks to media monitors, and you contacted me to refute that. Look, what...
It was a member of the public, Richard, one of your loyal listeners.
That's right, yes. Look, there are so many things to talk about, but look, one of it was certainly a hot topic yesterday, the future of Immigration Minister Andrew Giles. You know, visas are cancelled, then they're reinstated, and then they're cancelled. Are you of the opinion that Andrew Giles should resign as Immigration Minister, David?
Well, I mean, you'd put Andrew Giles or anybody else in there. It's just a bloody mess at the moment. And I think the reason is this government said it would be different, said it would have compassion, said it would do things with good process, and it's done none of that. And you know, it would have, if there'd been a coalition minister in during this time, they would have been probably the same, only maybe even slightly crueler. It's not really about the minister. It's about the fact that both Labor and the coalition are absolutely committed to be as obviously cruel as they possibly can to people seeking asylum, to have no good process, to shove as many decisions down the chain as far as possible. And, you know, I don't think it would really matter if it's Minister Giles or anybody else, that they're in such a mess on this. The politics is so toxic.
Yeah, yeah. All right, look, another hot topic, and it's one that, you travelled to the United States on, campaigning for Julian Assange, the charges from the United States to be dropped. I don't think you're a fan of Donald Trump, but he actually, in a recent interview, said that he'd seriously consider pardoning Julian Assange for espionage charges if he wins the November presidential election. I suppose you're a bit divided on your thoughts on that one, David.
Well, Donald Trump's like a broken clock, you know. He's probably right twice a day. but on this, look, there is a growing movement across US politics to say, actually, what the hell are we doing prosecuting Julian Assange? And I think our government could be clearer and stronger about it. They've said that, you know, it's gone on too long. But what we should be hearing clearly right now, and it would be a useful intervention from our Prime Minister, is that this prosecution was wrong in the first place. It's not just that it's gone on too long. Julian Assange was telling the truth about US war crimes. He's not a US citizen. He's had no connection with US. What on earth are they doing trying to pluck him out of the UK or Australia, take him to the US, charge him with secrecy offences under the US, and put him in jail for up to 175 years. That's not what we're meant to do to truth tellers. And this would be a great time for Prime Minister Albanese to come out and say that, because, you know, I went to the US on a delegation. I went there with this licorice all sorts of Australian politicians.
Yeah, yeah, Barnaby Joyce was a part of that group, wasn't he? Yeah.
I've got to tell you, sitting down, we met with, I can't tell you how many senators and congress people, and they looked at this delegation of Australian politics from like far left to the far right and said, you know, how are you guys in the same room? You know, what's wrong with you? And we said, well, actually, on this Assange issue, we all agree, and this prosecution should be dropped. And I think that had a real cut through in Washington. And, you know, you can see the spark that's been grown there now come out with these kind of statements. Yeah. We should free Julian Assange.
16 to 7, my guest, Green Senator David Shoebridge, something you've been strong on, aid to Israel and also to... aid in the skirmish which is happening and the tragedy which is happening in Gaza. We heard Richard Marles earlier in the week talking about the rise of anti-Semitism. He said he's never seen it as bad as it is at the moment, this rise in anti-Semitism. Do you think we should be assisting in any way in what's happening in the Middle East at the moment, David?
Well, to be clear, anti-Semitism is an appalling scourge, but what I reject is the idea that if you're criticising the actions of the State of Israel, which I think I and pretty much every international lawyer says is engaging in acts of genocide in Gaza, you can't conflate criticising the acts of Israel, the most recent bombing of that refugee camp where over 40 civilians were shredded to death and burnt, you know. You can't conflate criticising those actions with anti-Semitism. I just absolutely reject that. What we should be doing is doing everything we possibly can to stop this war. And shamefully, to Australia's shame, we continue to export weapons parts and weapons to Israel. In fact, something in the Newcastle region, there's a Vali Rafael just north of Newcastle, exports some of the critical components for the Israeli Spike missile, which has been used to blow up apartment blocks and residential buildings in Gaza. That's exported out of Vali Rafael just north of Newcastle.
Yes.
We should absolutely end that, and we should not buy weapons made by Israeli arms manufacturers that are they're currently right now experimenting on Palestinian people with and using as their sales pitch. Yes. They've experimented on Palestinian people. So there are real practical things we could do, and our government, to its utter shame, is not doing that.
Right. And just quickly, your thoughts, Rishi Sunak threw out as an election commitment if his party's re-elected. It doesn't look that way at the moment. He'd like to see some sort of national service reinstituted. Jackie Lambie jumped on that and said, terrific idea. Your thoughts on some sort of a, you know, National Guard, national service, not necessarily military service for young Australians. Do you think it's a good idea? Or?
Well, if Rishi Sunak is re-elected, I'll take you out for a three-course meal somewhere, Richard.
Right, I'll hold you to that.
It's about as likely. You know, it'd be nice to have a meal with you. But the but I feel my money's safe. I don't see any basis for doing that in Australia. The issue with our defence forces is that people, young people in particular, don't want to join it because they see the mission is very confused. They don't want to be with a government. They don't want to be joining a defence force where the government's hot to trot about ramping up conflict with China. They're troubled by some of the culture that they see in the Defence Force. And I've got to say, I talk with lots of veterans, and there's some pretty bruising and brutal culture. It's a very aggressive top-down culture, which is, you know, you need to a degree in the military, but it should not have the degree of toxicity that much of the ADF has. Fix those things. Give it the right mission of defending Australia, not threatening our neighbours. Fix the culture up in the ADF, and then people will be willing to join it. You don't drag unwilling people out of high school and throw them into the army.
In fairness, I don't think Jackie Lambie or Rishi Sunak were necessarily talking about, you know, military training, but some sort of helping out with natural disasters and things. But look, I'll move on. Senate estimates, I know you're very tied up with that happening at the moment. I notice there are accusations, as always, of vexatious questionings and questions without notice. Can you just briefly explain what Senate estimates is all about?
Yeah, that's where the Senate has about seven standing committees made up of, you know, different groups of senators. And then they just grill the bureaucrats, the most senior bureaucrats, about how public...
And ministers too.
Yeah, and ministers, to the extent the ministers are in the Senate. Unlike in state parliament, where upper house estimates, the ministers that are in the lower house will attend and, you know, defend or not their decisions. The ministers in the lower house refused to attend the Senate estimates in Canberra. It's pretty extraordinary, actually. But, yes, so we have ministers in the lower house and or senior representatives from the Senate representing the government. And we literally ask, where's the money going? What's happening with this policy? Why on earth are you doing this? And it's a pretty rigorous testing process. I mean, the committee I was on yesterday kicked off at 9 a.m. and I think we ended at 10:15 last night.
Wow.
And we covered a whole bunch of home affairs, for example.
Okay.
And, you know, critical issues like what's happening with the issuing of visas for people fleeing the conflict in Gaza, what checks and balances are there in home affairs people are granted visas. I mean, it's a pretty hard scrabble, but I think it's essential. It's probably one of the most useful things you can do as a senator.
All right. Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for contacting me yesterday, David. You could just straighten out that. That AUKUS bill, or the AUKUS, was actually written by, what, Richard Marles and Pat Conroy. So they ought to know what's in there.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? They've even voted for it. So I would have thought they should have given it a good read before they put their hand up on it.
All right. Appreciate your time. Have a good day. Thanks for having a chat with us this morning, David.
Cheers, Richard. Good speaking.
David Shoebridge, Green Senator.